Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the State of the Dart Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Oh, man.
Tell us about your dart.
I mean, how long have I had the dart?
Way too long. I mean, its time had come.
Its time came.
Thank God.
You talk about sad. I mean, this was the saddest, one of the saddest moments of my life.
Really?
Yeah. I mean.
And your wife was so jubilant. I mean, she never thought she'd see the day when the dart was euthanized.
I mean, I didn't even see it until days after this happened. My son. I don't want to get the guy in trouble, you know?
Any more than he's already
in. I mean, he has in a year. He's had his license, what, a year?
Yeah.
He's totaled two cars.
Yeah.
And
been instrumental in the destruction of many others.
Instrumental in the destruction of the dart. Not that he was, you can't blame him.
Let me set the stage. It was a beautiful pre-spring day. One of those days you get in the winter here in New England where the sun is out and it's about 64 degrees. An unexpected day. And he and his school chums decide that they want to take a ride to celebrate the early arrival of spring.
I don't even know where they went.
They were going to Dunkin' Donuts.
Where else? Of course. They were going to Dunkin'. They had the top.
The top was down because it was a beautiful day, and there they were sitting at a traffic light.
Minding their own business. He stopped at a traffic light. Out of nowhere.
Fortunately, directly behind an ambulance.
Yeah, right. Directly behind an ambulance. They're sitting there, and out of nowhere, don't forget, it's a beautiful spring day. It's in the 60s. And the town is testing the brakes of the snowplows. That's how they do it. They drive down the busiest street in town, and they test the brakes.
What better test?
And it's good, because if the brakes don't work, you just drop the plow and use the plow on the pavement as brakes, which is what they do. And they plow into, as they say, the back end of the dart. The thing, I mean, and don't forget, this is a snowplow truck. So not only does it plow into the back of the dart, but it proceeds to push the dart into the ambulance, which is stopped at the light in front.
One of those 13-wheelers or something, right?
Exactly. Like it's that. Like a semi with a plow on the front. The dart, you talk about. I mean, it gets towed away, of course. They go to the hospital and they get their, their obligatory, neck braces. And just yesterday, I managed to go to the yard where it's been towed. And I walked into the yard, and I tell you, I was speechless.
You were crushed, so to speak, just like the dart's going to be in a few days.
I was absolutely speechless. The dart, if ever the word totaled could be used, there isn't a square inch of that dart that, I mean, ugly as it was.
Well,
it's a lot more ugly when you shave it up into little pieces.
Well, if you want to see what it looks like, and it is interesting that how little structural integrity Bondo has. if you want to see pictures of what's left, it's on the website.
It is on the website.
And it's cartalk.com. You can go and visit the dart. And my brother's been on every day visiting. You know.
And I would like to know, I mean, here it is. It's still there in the yard where it got towed. And the question is, what do we do with the dart now? I mean, there have been several suggestions made that you might be interested in adding to. But the several suggestions that I can think of now are, one was someone said we should take it and take little pieces of it and crush them up into little cubes or something and make it into paperweights.
Yeah.
That would be kind of demeaning, I think.
Yeah, but we might make some money
off of
it.
We might make a couple of bucks out of it. A lot more than it's worth.
Yeah, Tommy's idea was to shape the thing into a huge cube with a crusher and put it in his backyard.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to build a giant altar.
Yes.
And put the dart on top of the altar so people could come and pray to the great god dart.
Dra.
And people could come, with their crutches and their wheelchairs.
And their slipping transmissions.
And they could fix whatever. I think the dart has that power.
Healing power.
So, I mean, that was my idea. But if you have any ideas of what we could do with the remains of the dart, send us a little note.
Stick it what? Where?
There will be a place on the website. And let us know what you think we ought to do with it, because it's not going to be there long. That's it.
We hope.
It's a sad day for me and a sad day for many.
And he's been in mourning for weeks now.
I have been in mourning. It's been.
It's good to have you back, man.
Oh, man. I'll try to cheer up, but you know it isn't going to be
easy.
Oh,
no, it's going to be a morose show, I can tell. If you'd like to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello, this is Kenny Rudd. I'm newly from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
Where did you used to live?
Connecticut.
I got it.
And
okay.
I actually spoke with you guys once before.
Really?
Back when I was a peon medical student.
Really?
And I am a full-fledged doctor now. I made it.
So it's Dr. Kenny.
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
So what's going on today, Dr. Kenny?
Well, a surgery is going on right now, actually.
There's a little break in the action, so you decided to call us?
Well, Dr. Zakoska said he would take over for me while I stepped out a little bit.
You can do that, huh? You can just, walk out of the operating room. I suppose, if you were doing a tune-up on a Dodge Dart, and someone said, hey, there's a phone call. You would just walk away. Why is a Dodge Dart not as good as a human body?
So you're out on break.
Yeah, and Dr. Z is a big fan as well.
Dr. Z.
And he just told me to pass on a message that I don't want to get in the middle of this. But
Dr. Zeus? Yeah, okay, you don't want to get in the middle. I'm sorry to interrupt.
All right. But he did say he's still upset with you guys that you wouldn't let that teenager get that BMW.
Oh, he is, huh? He is, huh? Does he have teenagers of his own, or is he some...
Do you have teenagers of your own, Dr. Z? He does.
Wait a minute, I thought he was doing the procedure.
Who the hell's operating on the guy?
He is. Right now, he's sewing. It's okay. It's all under control.
Is this how medicine gets done?
Well, at least he did put the intestines back inside before he started.
I don't think we need to know anymore about that. Okay.
So Dr. Z thinks that the woman who you're referring to, the woman who called and said she was going to get her 16-year-old daughter a Z3.
Yes, I can't say I agree with the gentleman.
With more horsepower than brains, this woman
had. Yes, exactly. That was the one.
Right. And Dr. Z thinks we were wrong in castigating her for being basically a moron and a fool, and we should have simply said, what a great idea, I wish I was your daughter.
That is what he says.
Well, Dr. Z may need an operation himself. He may have had an anal cranial inversion. Luckily, he's got a doctor that can take care of that. That would be you, Dr. Kenny.
Yes, I'm going to do all I can. We'll see to it.
Well, what does he want us to do, change our minds? Well, we're not going to.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you would, but I think he probably just wanted to get a rise out of you guys. But,
so did you call with a question, or are you just merely acting as his agent?
Oh, no, I do have a question.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And it's actually the same car that... It actually had developed an attitude before and was revving aggressively, spontaneously on its own.
Uh-huh.
Now it's sort of a diametrically opposed problem. It's an 88 Honda CRX. Then now, as I'm driving down the highway, the brakes start spontaneously applying.
Ooh.
Really?
On their own.
How magnificent.
Yeah, if you're not the one driving.
Are you sure of this, or does it simply slow down?
No, I'm pretty sure of this, because I've got warped rotors a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But when I apply the brake, the car shakes a little bit.
So you can feel it shaking.
I can feel it start to shake.
Good.
And then what happens if I go to step on the brake, there's no travel distance in the brake. It's almost way up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right. It's like the brakes are already on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like someone adjusted it so that the brake pedal is way too high.
Right. And then if you pull over and let it sit for several hours or maybe even minutes... It gets restored to its original behavior.
Yeah, it does.
Sure.
You can verify that the brakes are stuck on easily. The next time it happens and you pull over,
uh-huh.
put the thing in neutral and try to push the car.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you can try to push it earlier that day to see how it feels when the brakes aren't stuck.
Uh-huh.
And you'll notice a dramatic difference.
Yeah.
And then you have to find out what's causing it.
I have noticed this, that at high speeds, when this happens, I'll put it into neutral. And the car does slow down much more quickly than it does
Yeah, the brakes
normally.
Are on.
Yeah, I think we've established that the brakes are on.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So now
we're
going to
give you that.
Yeah, we're going to give you that point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So now,
good.
How to fix?
Do you want me to come up with that, or?
Yeah. Why don't you?
Or maybe Dr. Z can help out.
Okay.
Well, one of two things is wrong. Either your master cylinder is acting up, or more likely the power brake booster is. And
uh-huh.
I think we've discussed this before on the show. We've had other people call with this question.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to figure this out is that there are two 12-millimeter nuts that hold the master cylinder to the booster.
Yes.
You have tools? Are you willing to experiment with tools?
Oh, yeah, we got
not
the best
those
tools
kind
right
of
here,
tools.
Let me tell you.
No, like wrenches.
Oh, yeah, I do have those, too.
Yeah.
When the car is in the throes of one of these seizures, so to speak, you need to unbolt the master cylinder from the booster.
Okay.
Don't take any of the hydraulic lines off. Just remove these two 12-millimeter nuts.
Okay.
In fact, you don't even have to take them off all the way. Allow separation between the master cylinder and the booster.
Okay.
It'll move out about a half an inch.
And you know what both of those pieces look like.
Uh-huh.
The master cylinder is the thing you put the fluid in, and the booster is the black metal thing right behind it. That's between you and the master cylinder when you're driving the car.
Okay.
If you do that, and in fact the brakes free up immediately, the problem is a faulty booster.
Okay.
And you need to replace it.
Okay.
If in fact that doesn't cure the problem, then the problem is the master cylinder.
Okay.
But I think it's the booster.
Okay.
But you might want to practice taking those nuts off so you can do it with good speed.
Yeah.
Don't go there either. Okay.
No, no.
Not speed on the car.
Kenny, you haven't been a doctor that long. So.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Good luck. And get back in there and save that patient.
Okay, I'll do it. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
So that's what they do. When they're not playing golf, they're on the phone.
They're on the phone. He just walked out of the room.
Car talk. Jeez. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Howdy.
Howdy,
this is Monica. I'm calling from beautiful Austin, Texas.
And you said howdy, and that's the right word.
Austin is beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, beautiful spring day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about what you do when you are at a stoplight. My husband and I are in a disagreement about this, have a little wager going. He likes to put, he has an automatic transmission car, and at stoplights, he likes to put it in neutral.
Yeah.
He feels like this is resting the transmission and not so hard on the brake. And I kind of tend to think that it might actually be worse on the car because, you know, popping in and out of neutral all day. And it just, that seems like that might be more wear and tear.
What kind of a car is this, Monica?
Well, it's either when he drives his BMW, which is a 5 Series.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a Passat, wonderful car. It's a 5-speed manual. Now, this is really weird because when he stops at a stoplight in this new car...
He leaves it in gear with his foot on the clutch.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that?
Oh, he needs shock therapy.
I rest my foot. You know, that's the time to be in neutral is when you're in a manual transmission car.
Yeah. He must have missed that class in driver's ed. jeez.
Well, in the case of the automatic transmission, it hardly makes any difference what you do.
Well, I don't like shifting back and forth. I think if you're in drive, you leave it
in drive. But
it's
not worthy of a marital dispute.
Well, no, it isn't. However, how old is the BMW?
It's about 10 years old.
What was the previous car?
The 3 Series.
No. It was an American car, I'm guessing.
Like an Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Like what did he have before?
Yeah.
Peugeot.
That answers the question.
Why did you marry this wacko? He's wonderful, but he's a nutcase.
No,
it's all right.
Peugeot.
It's all right. Well, wow. You know, I think a lot of people who do what your husband does, i.e. take it out of drive and put it in neutral, do so because they have had a car in the past that either wouldn't idle in drive.
Yeah, all my cars.
Or was racing so fast that you felt like the car, like you had to keep your foot planted on the brake pedal. And it was just easier to take it out of drive for those few seconds.
Yeah, and give yourself a rest.
And give yourself a rest because you found that your right leg kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger from holding that brake pedal down. So it may be that he just learned this and he can't unlearn it.
It'd just be conditioning.
But there's no good reason to do it. In fact, I think you're absolutely right that he shouldn't do this. I think it's injurious to the drivetrain. But to do this.
Injurious to the drivetrain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, don't make a big deal out of it.
Oh, no. We're just having a
On the other hand, regarding the Passat, he's wacko. He's completely wrong on that one because he is doing damage in that case.
He's going to wear out the clutch release bearing.
Okay.
Yeah, so tell him to lighten up.
Well, thanks for clearing it up.
All right, Monica, thank you very much for calling.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have all I can do to keep the car running when I come to a stop sign.
Oh, I know it.
I got things to pull, levers to push, revving up that gas, feathering that gas pedal.
Well, you know, I've forgotten how...
You've forgotten how it was.
How it was.
How many vehicles have you owned that if you didn't throw it into neutral when you came to a stoplight, you had a snowball's chance in hell of ever keeping it running?
Well, lately, none. And that's unfortunate.
Well, that's right.
Because I lost those skills.
You lost the skills, and that's why I say it really doesn't matter, because now every car you drive is idling at 750 RPM, steady as a rock. Everything's perfect.
Right. I miss those days when that idle used to go up and down.
And if you tried to stop and drive, forget it.
No, but we've gotten too accustomed to perfection. That's the unfortunate thing.
Oh, man.
All right, Tommy, do you remember last week's quasi-automotive puzzler?
How quasi was it?
Well, very quasi. In fact, I think you felt quasi when you heard it. Anyway, I'll have the answer in just about a minute.
Original equipment, stock engine still runs high. The powered seat is perfect, can adjust throughout long drives. Suspension holds no wearing, front engine on the drive. Yet once I get a green light, it's too hard to ever stop. Come right in my DeSoto, and we'll both have a good time. Come right in my DeSoto, and we'll both have a good time. I'll give it a pass 50 if you're a little bit high.
And even though listeners think this is a really bad April Fool's joke, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
What was the question?
Well, I stole this quasi-automotive puzzler from the uncorrected galleys of a puzzle book by Terry Stickles with a foreword by NPR's own puzzle master, Will Shorts.
Oh, known to his friends as?
Frostia.
Yeah.
All right, here it is. I'll try to make it brief.
I remember it now.
You have been invited to go on a camping trip in the woods with 25 or 30 of your closest friends, and you've rented a cabin. So you pile in your cars. This is the automotive part.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Remember?
This
and you drive.
How, yeah.
Right? This is. Well,
yeah, that's what made it.
This was the loophole.
Yeah.
And you drive to the cabin. The next morning, everyone gets up, and it's decided that Cookie is going to make homemade pancakes for everyone, but he needs exactly 2 gallons of water for the recipe. So you are sent to the well to fetch 2 gallons of water, and you've got no measuring device.
Mm.
So you get to the well, and there are two containers. One says 13 gallons, and the other says 7 gallons. Using only those two containers, how can you measure exactly 2 gallons of water? And you have unlimited water. I mean, you've got a well there, right?
No one else knows that you've got these two containers. They're at the well. You just scratch off the thing that says 7 gallons. You write on it 2 gallons, and you fill it to the top.
I like it. I said, wow. I mean,
how's he going to know?
Yeah. Well, here's how I would do it.
Yeah.
You take the 7-gallon container and you fill it up and you pour the contents of it into the 13-gallon.
Yeah.
And then you do that again.
Sure.
And when you do that.
It's not all going to fit.
It's not all going to fit. You'll have filled the 13-gallon container and you will have 1 gallon left over in the 7-gallon container.
Right.
You put that aside, as they say in cooking, reserve.
Reserve.
You pour out the 13-gallon container, or better than that, you pour it back into the well.
Pour it back into the well. Yeah, conserve.
Right? So now you have 1 gallon in the 7-gallon container, and the 13-gallon container is empty.
Mm-hmm.
You then take that 1 gallon, and you pour it into the 13-gallon container.
Got it, yeah.
Leaving room for 12 more gallons.
Right.
You then fill the 7-gallon container again.
Mm-hmm.
and pour the entire 7 gallons into the 13.
Now you're up to 8.
You're up to 8 gallons. And you say, eight, how many, room for how many more?
Five.
You then fill the 7 gallon container a third or fifth or ninth time, whatever it takes. And
pour
all but 2 gallons in, because 5 from 7 is 2. There's only room for 5 in the 13-gallon container.
And you'll have 2 gallons left.
You'll have 2 gallons left, and if you don't trip and fall on the way back to the cabin,
you'll have exactly 2 gallons.
They'll be able to make the pancakes. And who's our winner, Tommy?
That's good. And the winner is Margaret Lowe from Minot, North Dakota. And for having her answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we may have gotten this week, our pal Margaret Lowe
Minot. Mino?
No, it's Minot.
Well, I know they pronounce it Minot, but isn't it Mino?
They pronounce it Minot.
Mino.
And that's how I pronounce. Well, a lot of French people live in North Dakota.
Yeah.
So it could be Mino.
Those fur trappers, they're still up there,
but
right?
Maybe the North Dakotans don't like French, and they're just trying to get them ticked off, and they pronounce it Minot.
I love it.
And if they do that, they're going, nah, 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 nah. That's how we're going to pronounce it, and the hell with you. But anyway, Margaret Lowe from Minot, North Dakota, is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, where Robert Siegel will personally wrap and ship your T-shirt for you if you ask really nicely, fat chance.
Anyway, we will have a new puzzle coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Brent Jackson. I'm calling from Boise, Idaho.
Brent?
Yes.
Brent from Boise.
Okay, we're there. Shoot, Brent.
Okay, guys. I've got a 1985 Ford F-250 with a 6.9-liter diesel. Wouldn't start. So I put a new relay in it because it's part of that glow plug system there. Didn't work. Spent $180, got the controller. That fired it right up for only 3 days, though. So it was towed to a dealer. They checked it all out, said, hey, good news and bad news. Controller's okay, but your glow plugs are all shot. So $300 for labor and plugs on that, and we were good to go. They said, however, that they broke some of the corroded glow plugs, fell into the cylinders, and they had to go fishing for the parts. When I drove it out after picking it up on the parking lot, I noticed a brand new noise that I got with my brand new glow plug.
Sound like something rattling around inside the engine?
Well, it sounded, you could hear it. It was a steady, rhythmic tap, 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 tap. The fellow, the service manager, he said, well, you know, take it. If it's a piece of glow plug, it'll burn out.
Yeah.
I service my own truck, so I changed the fluids in it. And when I was screening the oil and all that, I found some small little plastic pieces and then some, like, black gasket material. What the heck's going on?
In the oil?
In my motor oil, yeah.
Oh, you were looking for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, diesels spit out all kinds of stuff. You might find dinosaur bones in there, too. I mean, who knows what the hell is in.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't look too closely. And I don't think anything from the top end found its. If it did, you must have some awfully bad rings. So I don't think anything from the top end found its way to the bottom end.
Okay, that's reassuring.
But what I think happened is that pieces of those broken glow plugs got in between the valve and the seat of one of the valves, maybe several of the valves, preventing the valves from closing all the way and causing too much lash in the hydraulic lifters, thus giving you a tap, 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 tap.
Okay.
And while it may burn off, it may take a long time. Does the engine seem to run a little rough?
How would you know?
How about noisy? Is it a little noisy? Smoky?
It'll sound like they're coming apart anyway.
Yeah, but you haven't noticed, accompanying
the
noise, you haven't noticed a little extra shakiness in the engine at idle?
Not really, no.
It might not be enough to make a difference. Eventually, you've got to hope that this piece burns off. If not, you're going to have to pop the cylinder head. But I don't think it's necessarily their fault in that they didn't get every little piece out, because
this happens.
This happens.
Sure.
So it may be that at some point you're going to have to spend some big bucks to have the cylinder head taken off and to have the valves reground. And then they'll find that piece of the glow plug that's now been welded to one of the valves or the valve seat. And that's what's causing the noise. But I wouldn't worry about. I mean, what's to worry about? How many miles are on this beast?
Oh, yeah, it's got 150,000. I mean, which isn't bad for, as old as she is.
No, and you should get another 150,000. But I would just turn the radio up. And you're not going to do any additional damage by driving it. They
it's
already
done.
Did the
Good.
Damage.
Yeah, it's already
Good.
Done.
And maybe it'll fix itself.
Well, I hope so.
Well, if it doesn't, you can. And let's see, how far is it from Boise to my backyard? You can drive to the Shrine Mobile in my backyard, where the dot will be on this altar. And you'll be able to
lie in state,
like,
so to speak.
Some coins and touch the holy water.
You
there.
Throw some coins into the fountain, and you pray for the F-250, and that little piece of glow plug will miraculously—and I don't use that word lightly—will miraculously just dissolve.
Well, if the becomes a bit daunting for me, are there any miracle additives you suggest? You might suggest that I throw in the meantime.
I wouldn't waste my time. I would come directly to the Shrine Mobile and bring your MasterCard or Visa, because we don't take American Express.
All right.
See you, Brent.
Guys. I appreciate that help very much.
Hey, good luck, Brent.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what it's time for?
Time to try and convince the IRS that bribing the FCC is a legitimate business expense?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show.
Dig up. What an unfortunate choice of words.
Well, sometimes we have to literally dig up a caller from a previous show and find out how our advice panned out.
So who's our willing victim this week?
The victim this week is Tim from Cincinnati. That's the only definition, the only description of him that
the
we have.
The answer is no, I don't remember him.
Good. I don't either.
Okay.
Well, but I do have this little slip of paper that tells me that Tim called us shortly after he had moved from Cleveland to Cincinnati, and ever since the move, his Honda Civic had been making a rattling noise when he accelerated.
Replicate the noise. It sounds sort of... Have you ever picked up a little refrigerator?
Yeah, and the noise I heard was, oh, my back!
Well, if you ever do that, you hear the compressor shaking in the back, sort of hollow kind of rattling noise.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly the noise. It's the compressor springs.
Right.
I bet you'll notice that it always happens at the same RPM, or very close. So there's a range. It might happen between 24 and 2600 RPM, for example. And beyond that, you don't get it, and below it, you don't get it.
Because it's a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
Yes. And what it is...
It's saying, Tim, I can sympathize with you.
We're sorry you had to move to Cincinnati.
Cleveland is not exactly Valhalla either.
So what did we tell him was, I don't remember, was causing the sympathetic vibration?
We said it was a loose heat shield, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it sounds good. Let's see what we did. Tim, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you are!
All right, before we find out what happened, I need to first confirm that you and I have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct.
And my millionaire ex-wife has not made any cash contributions to your campaign fund to try to influence the outcome here today. Has she?
No, but I'd be willing to accept them if she were.
Okay, what was it, man?
It absolutely was the heat shield.
Whoa! Can we hear that one more time, Dad? All right.
Boy, look at that crowd. Huh? Boy, are they excited. Look, there must be 1,000 people out there.
Well, that was easy. So we don't have to interrogate you or belittle the other people who looked at it or try to, you know.
No, we don't have to do anything. We just say, thank you, Tim. You were wonderful to take part in Stump the Chumps. And that's it. We chalk it up and we recalculate the average, which is, I believe, below 500.
No one needs to know that. Did you go ahead and get the heat shield fixed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Very good. Well, Tim, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, and thanks for agreeing with us.
Thank you, guys.
See you later,
Take
man.
Take it easy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, if any of you six listeners out there hear someone that you'd like us to bring to Stump the Chumps, you know, we were going to go back and find them and find out if we were right, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com. Would you do that?
Or you can call and Stump the Chumps right now.
Really?
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-782-7825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Kelly calling from Indianapolis. That's right.
What's up, Kelly?
I'm a museum educator.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I'm putting together an educational program for children, which includes information about the auto industry here in Indiana. And at some portion of the program, I show some piston rings that were made in Indiana. The only problem is that I really don't know what piston rings do. So I'm hoping you guys can help me out so that I can explain it to the kids.
I would suggest a trip to Detroit. And you will see that
field trip? That works
for me.
All the executives of all of the auto companies are wearing these as earrings.
The latest fashion.
And it's the latest fashion trend.
So you know what a piston ring looks like? Have you actually seen one?
Yes. We had some sent to us, and we actually show the kids, so I'm able to have them in my hands, and I see them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta do a little. You gotta make a little picture, or you gotta show them.
Who sent the rings to you?
Our friends at Perfect Circle and Dana Corporation.
Perfect Circle. Exactly. That's
yeah,
the
and,
guys.
And rings are a perfect. I think Perfect Circle also sells pistons.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can ask them to send you an appropriately sized piston, because all piston rings are not the same. They're sized to the piston that they go around.
Right. I think I got a few different sizes.
Ask them to send you a piston on which you can put one of these rings.
Okay.
You're going to have a piston.
All right.
And you're going to have the cylinder in which the piston fits.
And you can make a cylinder out of
cardboard.
Better than cardboard. What's that stuff that teachers always use? Oak tag.
Okay.
What the heck is that?
Isn't that? It's that heavy duty poster board kind of stuff. It's kind of yellowish.
Yep.
You know the stuff I'm talking about, right, Shelley?
Of course she does. Did you learn this from that book I gave you?
No.
I gave my brother a book on art history.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's going to become a museum educator soon.
So watch out, Kelly.
The job is in jeopardy.
So anyway, so you need to make a cylinder of oak tag.
Okay.
And into which this piston that they give you will slide up and down.
It will fit snugly.
All right.
But you will notice that if you want that piston to really fit snugly, what you want to do is put a piston ring around it.
Okay.
So that the ring takes up any space between the piston and the cylinder.
And that's why there's kind of a slit in the piston
because
ring.
There's no way to get them on.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get it on. So what you want to do, I think what I would do is I would make two of these things, one with a piston that has no rings and one with a piston that has rings.
I see.
So you can show that you can't get compression in the one without the rings because whatever you try to push down on is not only going to sneak by the piston.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's great. And this is also why the Perfect Circles, why the piston rings have to be so concise, right? Because it's really a kind of a precise science.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you may know this already, but what happens, the reason that you have a piston and rings and whatnot is what's happening above the piston is combustion. The gasoline is burning and creating tremendous pressure.
Okay.
And that pressure is pushing the piston down, and that's what actually makes the engine move your car.
Right.
And without the piston rings, when the explosion or the fire took place, instead of all that force being applied to pushing the piston down, some of it would sneak by between the piston and the cylinder and not do any work.
Okay.
So you want all of the force of that explosion to act on the piston.
Okay.
And make the engine run and more efficiently,
obviously. And this technology is 100 years old.
More.
What do you mean more?
More than 100 years old. Piston ring technology?
They didn't have any pistons 100 years ago.
Oh, sure they did. I mean, pistons have been around forever.
The Trojan horse had pistons?
Nobody had a... Never mind. Anyway, Kelly, it's been around for more than 100 years.
Yeah, this is going to be a great little... What do you call this?
And if you... Demonstration. If you need help, don't hesitate to contact us.
Great.
We'd love to help you to do this.
Great. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It does sound like a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure.
It's great.
See you, Kelly. Good
Thanks
luck.
Thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We might have a future here in museumology.
Okay, look, I think it's time for us to take a little break because we've been working hard.
Good. I have to go check out my office. I hired a cleaning crew to give it a once-over, you know, a little spring cleaning.
Good idea. They're going to do the rug?
Oh, yeah. They're going to torch everything.
Good. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
I was driving into town in my Beetlebug. Ain't no fool saving fuel. Listen now. Yeah. Keeping right on the broken white line. Playing my radio and keeping cool. I'm feeling fine, y'all, and drinking wine. Big Mac truck on my ride, making me feel uptight. And a bus just ran the stop.
stop sign. That's when I yell, hey, 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 hey. Don't bump, y'all, bump my beeler. Don't you bump, y'all, bump my beeler.
And even though Neanderthals, think back to the good old days, B.C., before car talk, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Here it is. This guy has a new house built. You're paying attention. You need to pay careful attention because there are all kinds of...
When you speak... I always pay attention because I know that you are going to one of these days come up with some words of pearls of wisdom.
But it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened yet.
So pay attention. Anyway, and as luck would have it, his entire backyard is just dirt. And he's planning on having a big 4th of July celebration. So he goes to the local nursery and he says to the guy, look, I've got to buy some grass seed. He said, because it's almost June 1st, and I've got to have this party in 4th of July weekend. I want a yard full of grass.
Yeah. Sod, they tell him.
He says, sod's too expensive. Can't afford that. Too much money. He says, well, how much is seed? And they discuss various options. And then finally, the fellow at the nursery says, hey, we have this new product. He said, it just came in a few months ago. He said, you may be interested in it. It's a plug of grass. And he said, well, what's that? He looks about the size of your fist. Could be a part of your dart. Even. And he says, you plant this in your lawn in a central location, and every day it doubles in size. So he asked the owner of the house to draw a little picture of his backyard with the dimensions. And because he says, you may need a lot of these. And the guy says, well, let's figure it out. And he says, well, he said, I've done all the math. You need one. He said, you mean if I plant this thing like June 1st, by June 30th, I'll have a lawn? And the guy says, well, according to my calculations, no problem. He said, and then what you have to do is once the lawn is in place, you have to spray it with this arrestor spray so it doesn't continue to...
And grow up the side of your house.
Right. doesn't subsume your car.
Or the driveway. Yeah. Sure.
And the guy says, you sure you did the math correctly? The guy says, I'm telling you, he said, plant one of these, and in 30 days, you'll have a full lawn in your backyard.
Wow.
And he says, great. He said, but just to be on the safe side, I want two.
Good thinking.
Wasn't that good thinking?
Good. Well, I mean, why not?
So the question is, if in fact one would give him a lawn in 30 days, if he plants it on June 1st, by June 30th, he'd have his entire lawn. When he buys two, what day must he apply? Within, let's say, with plus or minus 2 days, what day must he apply the arrestor spray to stop it from subsuming his car,
wow,
his garage, and his kids?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Why is it plus or minus one or two?
Just to obfuscate even further.
All right, that's good.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a piece of ripe fruit or fish. And send that correspondence to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-CAR-TALK, which is 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hello. This is Carol from Traverse City, Michigan.
Hi, Carol.
Carol.
Hi. Yeah.
Michigan, that would be without an E then at the end.
No, it's with an E.
Oh, Carol!
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well, where are you really from?
Michigan doesn't have an E at the end.
I'm really from Michigan.
Really?
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 Carol with an E.
Yeah.
You know,
only exotic. It really is exotic.
Only one Carol out of 57.
You've been keeping track.
Oh, not keeping track. We've been doing original research here.
Okay.
Of all the people named Carol in the United States,
yeah,
only. And it's possessions. Do we have any possessions?
Well, not you and I personally. No, not really.
No.
Now that your dart's gone.
Only one out of 57 has an E at the end. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you are one of a few. So anyway, what's up?
Well, we have a 1981 Dodge Ares car that we bought from my husband's mother. So
oh,
it's a grandma car.
God, it sure is.
A grandma car.
And
That's good.
Had 61,000 miles on it. She put about 7,000 miles on it in 8 years.
Really? Well, that's why those cars got the reputation for being so reliable. If you don't drive it, it can't be unreliable, right?
Well, we bought it for our teenage daughter.
Oh.
She's very involved in sports, and her schedule is horrendous.
How teenage is your teenage daughter, like 17 or 18?
Almost 17, yeah.
How are 17-year-old daughters?
See, challenging.
I have a daughter who's approaching 17. She's just approaching teenagerhood. And everyone says that teenage girls are more of a challenge than teenage boys.
I think that's people that have teenage girls say that, and people that have teenage boys, or maybe it's the other way around. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, because I've just gone through a teenage boy trauma.
How old is he now?
18.
18. So you
and I've only killed him twice. And I'm just wondering, what's going to happen when my daughter is 18? I mean, is it going to be worse?
No, I think it's better. I think they emerge. I think they're kind of in that between time, and then they emerge into these wonderful adults, and you have these wonderful conversations with them, and you
really?
Look at them,
well,
and you think...
as a mother, you will. See, that Tommy won't have that. When Tommy's daughter is 17 or 18,
then you can
he'll be in the rocking chair drooling on himself. So I don't think he'll have to worry too much about communication.
Well, here's my question, and I asked this question of the world.
Yes.
Why didn't anybody tell us about this teenage thing? I mean, you get this little infant thing that weighs about 5 or 6 pounds, and it's so soft and cuddly, and it doesn't make much noise. It does smell bad.
It's just like getting a puppy.
Because...
And all of a sudden, you got an 18-year-old son who's totaling cars faster than you can buy them.
People want to sit back after they've been through it and watch you go through it.
Exactly.
Somebody should tell us about
they
this in advance.
Then you wouldn't do it, and that's why nobody tells you.
I warned my wife. I said, are you sure about this?
But then it's too late.
And it's too late, exactly.
Even my wife occasionally lately has said, you may have been right.
It's too late. It's too late. It's
but then comes, maybe we should do this again.
But your daughter is obviously a wonderful young lady.
Girl. Oh, that's
well,
good.
Here's what's happening. I leave for work really early. I'm a teacher, so it's dark and starry, and I head out to the garage where my car is, and her car is parked by our back door. And as I'm walking out in the middle of the darkness, I hear a funny noise coming from her car. It's click, 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 click. And this is going on for days, and her battery keeps going dead, and we find out that the electric door locks are independently going up and down, up and down.
No kidding!
Whether the car is on or off.
Isn't that wonderful?
See, now my brother immediately leapt to the other conclusion that the car was cooling off.
No.
So it means your daughter had just gotten home before you left for work.
It's not that. Well, no, I don't think so.
Because that's the sound that a cooling engine would make. Just click, click, clack.
No, you tracked it down to the door locks.
The door locks. And she said that whether she's driving the car, whether the car's on and or idling, whether the car's off, they do this.
Oh, so she knew about it.
Yes, she knew about it but didn't tell us. And consequently, depending on how much she's been driving the car, the battery goes dead.
Well, of course.
So we were wondering, we don't want to put a lot of money into this car to try to solve some complicated electrical problem. So we were wondering if there's a quick and easy, simple solution to keep this car going for her so we don't have to spend any more money.
Well, if it were like real cars where there's like one fuse dedicated to one device, you could actually pull the fuse for the power door locks. But it may be that also controls the dome light, the cigarette lighter, the backup lights. And
she's already driving with, not a lot of those kinds of things.
So I don't know what else is on that circuit, but that's one option if it had its own fuse. If it doesn't, then you'll have to go and find the relay
Oh.
and unplug that.
Okay.
And that might be the easier thing to do. And
but,
I don't know.
But, then you wouldn't be able to lock the car.
Well, you would. You
easily.
Have to do it mechanic, you know, like the old days.
I told her just to put anything of value in the trunk and don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't lock the car at all.
Yeah. Just don't lock it. You know.
You can relatively easily disarm that whole thing by pulling out the relay.
And what is the relay? Where is that?
I don't know.
God only knows.
All right.
If you go to your filling station and ask them to find the relay for the door locks and unplug it, I think your problem will be over. And at the same time they unplug it, they can check to see if there's a current drain anymore.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what's running the battery down, the fact that this thing is kicking in and out, in and out.
Yeah, okay. And also, I mean, it might be, you might want to consider this very, very unusual concept. You might try fixing it.
Oh, that sounds expensive.
My God, what is he talking about?
It may be that just the relay is bad.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds pretty simple.
Yeah.
And that would be the best thing.
That would be the best thing.
Good luck, Carol.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is, I better use an alias. That's what I was told to use.
I would.
This is sort of a different story than what you're probably used to hearing, but
good.
Let's use the alias Fred from Georgia.
Fred from Georgia.
Yes.
Is the place an alias too?
No, the place is legit. Actually, we can say Southern Georgia.
Okay.
Somewhere between Douglas and Valdosta. We'll narrow it down.
Near Fairview. Okay.
This is true.
Okay, quote Fred, unquote.
Here's the story. I was playing, I'm a musician, I play on the weekends down here in Georgia, and I was playing at a bar. We took a break, went out to the parking lot, and when we were coming back in, it was starting to rain. And I noticed that Ford F-150 had its truck door open. So I didn't want the person's truck to get wet.
Being a good Samaritan, you decided.
This is true.
Okay.
So I slammed the truck door shut and shut the truck door for him. And the only thing that went through my mind was at the time was, gee, I hope he has his keys. However, when we were playing, and about a half hour later, somebody ran into the bar and said, good heavens, a truck is on fire. And it just so happened to be the same truck.
Good heavens?
Well,
good heavens?
Is this similar to consarn it?
I have to remember to what medium I am speaking in.
Yeah.
All right.
Was the first word holy?
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. Holy mackerel.
This is
There's
true.
A truck
this,
on fire.
They were very, this is exactly what they said. This is true. They said there's a truck on fire. So we all ran out and darn if it wasn't the same truck. So what raced through my mind was first,
did I do it?
Dear heaven, I hope there wasn't a witness to me shutting this truck door.
Yeah.
And second of all, could I have caused that fire? Well, I mean, actually, see, I heard through the grapevine about 2 weeks later that it was a short circuit somehow in the dash or the truck door or whatever. I overheard the guy talking to the bartender, whatever.
Right.
So could I have done that? And if so, am I facing possible litigation?
Well, I understand now why you're using an alias, Fred. Good idea.
In Georgia, it's like horses. You don't mess with a horse, and you don't mess with a truck.
Well, I mean, it does bring up an interesting question, though, doesn't it? Because, I mean, the truth is that if you had shut that person's door and you had caused the fire, then you probably are legally responsible and would have to pay. On the other hand, you were being a good Samaritan. I mean, you were trying to prevent the guy's truck from getting wet, and you were being a nice person. I mean, I have on occasion, one time I was in a parking garage, and I noticed that there was a car with the dome light on. Because the door wasn't shut all
I remember
the way.
That. You went and you smashed the guy's window so you could get in and turn the dome light
no,
off.
No. I pushed the door shut and his alarm went off.
Oh,
I ran like hell. I mean, in this modern day and age, I guess you can't mess around with anybody else's property. That's why doctors don't stop when they see accidents on the road. They floor it. They want to get as far away as they can because, sure, they might save someone's life, but the malpractice insurance is not worth it.
Well, what makes it bad is tonight I'm going out to the same place and playing there. And, you know, good Lord, I hope, and they, I mean, we, in Georgia, we love your show. I mean,
well, this guy won't be there because his truck burned up last week, so you don't have to worry about him.
He might have gotten a ride with somebody. Well, the answer to your question is yes, you could have caused it.
Oh, Lord.
On the other hand, anyone would have caused it. You think he may have left the door open because he knew there was a short and therefore
maybe
didn't want his car, his truck to burst into flame? I mean, if that's the case, then he was negligent. He left there, as we call it in the legal profession, an attractive nuisance.
Do you think maybe I was a pawn in a game to
Maybe. Are you a keyboardist?
No, sir. I'm a drummer.
That was going to be my third guess.
So the deeper question is, for the rest of the people who are listening, if you do see something, should you or shouldn't you? I mean,
well, it's a sad thing that the times we live in dictate that you don't do anything anymore. Yeah. Isn't it sad? You can't pull over to help somebody because they'll hit you over the head with a 2x4.
Yeah.
I have the solution to that. I hit them first. I have the guy broken down the day. I have beaten on him.
And then he changed his tires while he was laying
Well, you know
there.
Why? That way I knew he couldn't hurt me.
That's the way to do it. You get out, you pull over, hit him over the head.
That's exactly.
Knock him out, and then change his tire. I'll get his car started.
So on the off chance that he had some nefarious plan in mind.
You beat him to it.
I beat him up.
Excellent.
And then I revived him and jumped in my car and I took off. So, Fred, mind your own damn business next time. Just play those drums. See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
And good luck, Fred.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Seneca Lake rump steak, sponge cake, milkshake, bran flake, shake and bake, is John Buzzy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin O'Vara. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our dermatologist for teenagers is Don Pickett. Our conflict resolution specialist is Yvonne, a piece of me. The manager of the Car Talk listener rebate program is Wendy Pigsfly. Our staff tax preparer is Lionel Little. Our emergency room physician is Henrietta Bad Clam. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before, and our seat cushion tester is, of course, Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheadman, Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the James Taylor imitators in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And secondly, above all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1413, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we explain the mysteries of regular maintenance.
What do you mean? Regular maintenance for you is plucking the parking tickets off the windshield and wiping the wet leaves off the front seat.
Yeah, I know. I mean maintenance for other people.
Oh. Well, if you've heard of things like brake jobs and coolant flushes, but don't know what they are, whether you need to do them, or whether they're things you can tackle yourself, you'll find all the answers this week at cartalk.com.
Can I do those things myself?
Yeah, right after you successfully find both cheeks in the shower.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheadman, Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the FBI starts a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.